Part 3. Major Pending Disputes in Chapter 11 Cases. Next, we'll quickly review major pending disputes in large Chapter 11 cases that troubled company reporter editors monitored day by day. Ivy Magdadero reports that Verizon Communications, Inc. won a complete victory on June 18th when a federal district judge in Dallas threw out the remainder of a $9.8 billion lawsuit begun almost 3 years ago by creditors of IdeaArc, Inc. IdeaArc implemented a reorganization plan in January 2010, mostly worked out before the Chapter 11 filing in March 2009, reducing debt from $9 billion to $2.75 billion. The plan created a trust that filed the lawsuit in Dallas. In January, U.S. District Judge A. Joe Fish ruled after a non-jury trial that IdeaArc was solvent and worth $12 billion when spun off. Given solvency, the judge told both sides to file papers explaining why the entire suit should or shouldn't be dismissed. The IdeaArc Creditors Committee responded in mid-March with papers contending that the company was never properly formed, thus making Verizon liable for the debt. In a 22-page opinion, Judge Fish dismissed the entire suit. He said the finding of solvency was fatal to claims known as constructive fraudulent transfer, where transactions can be set aside if made for inadequate consideration when a company is insolvent. Judge Fish similarly dismissed claims for actual intent to hinder, delay, or defraud creditors. He said any circumstantial evidence of fraudulent intent was, quote, negated by his conclusion that Dallas-based IdeaArc was solvent and worth $12 billion at the time of the spinoff. The judge also failed to go along with technical theories that a dividend was illegal because IdeaArc never had more than one director when there should have been three. Judge Fish said that he was unable to find, quote, any case in which a court found that a solvent corporation's dividend was illegal solely because of a technical violation. The dismissal of the suit gives creditors the right to appeal. Although setting aside a judge's finding of fact about solvency is difficult, the creditors can now raise on appeal the question of whether they were entitled to a jury trial. Earlier in the case, Judge Fish ruled that there was no right to a jury trial. Headquartered in Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, Texas, IdeaArc, Inc., now known as Supermedia, Inc., is the second-largest U.S. Yellow Pages publisher. The company was spun off from Verizon Communications. At around June 20th, Blackstone Group LP agreed to pay $10 million to settle a lawsuit that had sought $8.4 billion for its role in the sale and subsequent bankruptcy of hotel chain Extended Stay, Inc. Citigroup, Inc., an advisor to Blackstone that took control of Extended Stay in a 2007 leveraged buyout, agreed to pay $200,000. Bank of America Corp., which advised Blackstone, was also released from the lawsuits as part of the settlement. In 2007, Blackstone sold the 680-hotel chain for $8 billion to private equity investor David Lichtenstein. After Extended Stay filed for bankruptcy, Finbar O'Connor, the trustee acting for the benefit of Extended Stay creditors, filed five lawsuits in 2011. The lawsuits alleged that Blackstone skimmed $2.1 billion from the sale of the chain. The trust also asked the court for $6.3 billion in punitive damages because it alleged Blackstone and others maliciously breached their duties to Extended Stay creditors. The settlement excluded Mr. Lichtenstein. A July 18th hearing has been scheduled for the court's consideration of the Blackstone and Citigroup settlements. U.S. District Judge Gershwin Drain on June 10th dismissed a $3 billion lawsuit filed by Dutch carmaker Spyker Cars NV against General Motors Company. Spyker sued GM last August, accusing it of attempting to bankrupt Saab after the U.S. automaker had already sold the company to Spyker. GM, in effect, blocked the sale of Saab to China's Zhejiang Youngman Lotus Automobile Company by prohibiting the transfer of some of its intellectual property. But the court found that GM had a, quote, contractual right to approve or disapprove any change of ownership. Furthermore, Judge Drain said the contract between GM and Spyker, quote, is clear, unambiguous, and absolute on the matter. GM sold Saab to Spyker in 2010. Saab filed for bankruptcy protection less than a year later after GM blocked its sale to the Chinese automaker. On June 19th, Spyker said it would seek dismissal of its billion-dollar lawsuit against GM following a, quote, careful review of the court's opinion. In the first week of June, Patriot Coal Corp. and the United Mine Workers Union filed appeals from litigations they lost at the end of May in the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in St. Louis, Missouri. While Patriot is content with having its appeal decided by a panel of three bankruptcy judges on the bankruptcy appellate panel, the union is having its appeal decided by a federal district judge. The union filed an appeal from the May 29th opinion by U.S. bankruptcy judge Kathy A. Surratt states, allowing Patriot to modify union contracts and reduce the guarantee of lifetime medical care for retirees. The May 29th opinion generally permits Patriot to reduce wages and benefits for its 1,600 active union miners to levels provided to its non-union employees. This could include scrapping wage increases, cutting vacation days and overtime pay, and reducing pension contributions. Patriot appealed the judge's dismissal of a lawsuit where the coal producer was attempting to force former owner Peabody Energy Corp to continue paying benefits for some retirees at a higher level, even though Patriot will be paying lower benefits. Although the union conceded Patriot needed concessions to survive, Judge Surratt States wrote her 102-page opinion in May to explain why the union was wrong in contending she should leave the door open to restoring the higher level of wages and benefits as soon as 2016. In the lawsuit with Peabody, Judge Surratt States decided that the plain language of the party's contracts allows the former owner to guarantee no more benefits than those Patriot is paying. Patriot began carrying out wage benefit changes for active employees July 1st. Nevertheless, the company said on July 2nd that it has made, quote, substantial progress towards a deal with the miners' union on the benefit cuts and wage reductions. Ongoing talks likely concern Patriot's plan to trim its $1.6 billion in long-term health care obligations to retirees. Patriot is the 10th largest coal producer in the U.S. The company employs about 4,000 people, about 41% of whom are union members. It filed for bankruptcy in July last year after being hit hard by dropping coal prices brought on by a glut of cheap natural gas. That concludes Part 3 of the report. The report continues in Part 4.